Phil Hendry Show.
Here's a look at the doll. This is the Cuddle With Me doll.
Each of us spend, even though we don't know it.
You know, Donald Trump, I want to talk to this guy.
So let's not question each other's patriotism.
Come on, put out.
That's crap.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, what truth is our bitch. We got a little more information on this little cuddle doll or whatever the hell this thing is, this monkey doll. We'll talk about that when the hour gets motating here. They got a couple of this company, this brass key dot whatever the hell it's called, that made this monkey doll. It sounds to me like it's about as secretive as the, well, I shouldn't say.
You're going to say the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, I can't figure out. They've had press releases. Now, here's a company that's got, they just got hit with about the worst publicity you could get hit with. They got a black doll with a monkey with a banana called the Little Monkey Doll. Now, we got a gentleman hanging on hold, and we'll get to him in a few minutes, and he's right. He didn't know that he was right, and I didn't know that he was right, but he's right. There is a white doll, but I don't know if you can call it it's not a little monkey. It's called the Pretty Panda Doll. So is that a little monkey doll? No, I guess it isn't. So I guess you're not right, sir. Well, you know, we'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You can hear us online right now. You can watch us online right now. If you were watching us online right now, about 3 minutes ago, you saw me having a complete and total meltdown because I'm just that kind of a guy. I'm a pain in the ass. Isn't that right, bud?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota has made a comment comparing herself to Sarah Palin. Now, Michelle Bachmann, so you guys can remember, she's some kind of a rising star in the Republican Party, and she is, you know, she's been on TV, she's been featured a lot, and she made a comment here. We played it a lot only because we like to have a lot of fun with it here, where she was talking about the vets coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan having already laid their lives down.
Probably some of the most patriotic people that we know of are returning military veterans. They laid their life down for you and for me.
Well, if they're returning.
I had a wet dream last night.
Anyway, so Michelle Bachmann is using the recent resignation of former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin in a fundraising appeal in an email solicitation to supporters on Thursday with the subject line, "Don't let them Palinize me." Bachmann argues that with Governor Palin taking a well-deserved step out of the spotlight, it appears that I may be absorbing even more of the liberal scorn. She notes that Fox News host Sean Hannity has said he considers Bachmann the second most hated Republican woman in America after Palin. And in big red letters to the side of the body of the fundraising letter, Bachmann's appeal says, "My Democrat opponents are raising more than $30,000 a week to defeat me." Although she represents a conservative district north of the Twin Cities, Bachmann has found herself in a series of controversies since being elected in 2006. You may remember Michelle Bachmann. Bud thinks she's hot.
She is. Are you kidding me?
Man, I wouldn't go near it.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't go near it. Gentlemen, this is, we're not having a fashion show here, man. This ain't a beauty contest. It sure ain't a beauty contest. No, she has been in a few controversies. She's frequently called her political opponents Marxists and other incendiary terms. And shortly before Election Day last year, she suggested in a nationally televised interview that now President Barack Obama and certain Democrats in Congress were unpatriotic. Democrats pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into her challenger's campaign in the aftermath of that interview, but she still prevailed by 3 points. I don't know why you'd waste your time trying to go against somebody like that. I'd say go ahead, let them get elected. Let them get elected and let them get out there into the white-hot spotlight of the congressional floor there where they go and they debate and let the world see what a blithering nincompoop she really is. I mean, I've heard her speak on the floor of Congress, and she is one shop-worn and tarnished and stale platitude after the next. Everything right from a very stale conservative playbook that it don't even play anymore. You know, I mean, the stuff just falls. It's like a lead chicken, man. None of that stuff really, it doesn't play because it's like been there, done that, heard that. Yeah, okay. And government spending. Do you understand that if you're a conservative right now, and again, I got no dog in this fight, like they say, except for one thing. I love my country, okay? What are you going to say? And please, guys, because you're not going to get elected on this one. What are you going to say when, say, Phil Hendry comes to you and he says, now, you guys have been propping business You just saw what business did. I had Thad McCotter on the phone. I had Thad. He's a nice man, but even he was playing. He was playing defense with me because when I kept on bringing up the failure of Detroit, he wanted to blow past that and get to the government rules and regulations. Until finally, the only thing he had left to say was, "Well, there's bad guys on both sides." Well, that argument just doesn't work anymore. Bad guys, yeah, there's bad guys on both sides. So that guy over there is going to use the bad guy on my side. I'm going to use the bad guy on his side. And where the hell are we going with this conversation? If you're a conservative and you're you're looking to maybe get a chunk of the power back in Washington from a Democratic Party that should be consolidating its win right now and isn't doing it because they don't have the brain power. Right now, if you look at what's leading the Democratic Party, you want to, I don't know what you want. You want to laugh, you want to cry, you want to sing, you want to throw up. You don't know what, what do they got, man? But that ain't saying a whole lot for the Republicans. If the Democrats ain't got nothing, the Republicans got even less. And I'm telling you, if they're talking serious about people like Bachman and Palin, you got to be kidding me, man. Yank the other one. There might be some Christmas bells left on it. That ain't that funny. So if you are a conservative, you got to answer the question, how do we position ourselves as the pro-business party when business in this country has never looked worse, has never looked more inept, has never looked dumber, has never looked less productive, has never, and we're not talking about labor unions now. See, that game's been played. You know, we've been down that labor union road. Oh, well, if we didn't have to pay so out of hell, you didn't have to pay so much. We took a look at some of these bonus packages. The whole country got a nose full of what you guys are getting paid at the top end of the ladder. So don't give me this labor union bull crap and how much it's costing you this and that and something else and government regulation. You guys have got your thumb shoved in your ears. You don't know what kind of business you're running. If you know you're running a business at all, you wouldn't know your product any better than you probably know, I don't know, your own kids for all the time you spend with them. You guys don't know a thing about how to make a company profitable, successful over the long haul, and maintain good relations with your customers. It's over. Now, how are you as a conservative going to call yourself a pro-business, a guy that embraces, shall we say, a pro-business ideology, or as a Republican, a pro-business party? How are you going to do that with any credibility? What does that mean? What does that mean? Phil, there are a lot of companies in this country. Well, I believe in the entrepreneurial. Oh, will you stop for 5 seconds? I believe in the entrepreneurial spirit, too. We're talking about major corporations employing millions of people, losing so much money, it's pornographic. Sending this country to the brink of a devastating depression, pulled back only at the last moment by, guess what? The actions of a bipartisan representative body and the presidents involved, including Obama and Bush. But I dare not say that, you see, because if I say that, people say, well, you're saying that the government helped us out of the, we're still in a recession, Phil. It could get worse and it could get better and it could be, I got all of that, okay. But I'm sorry to have to break the news. It wasn't business that has powered us thus far out of this recession so much as it has been very, very proactive steps that have put a little bit of confidence back into the system. This election cycle, Democratic leaders are high on State Senator Terrell Clark, who has decided to challenge Bachman through Maureen Reed, the Independent Party nominee for Lieutenant Governor, is seeking the Democratic bid. In her fundraising appeal, Bachman says the following: just as they did with Sarah Palin, the more I talk about issues, the more they attack with below-the-belt personal hits. In fact, yesterday, a Minnesota paper gave a full column to a hit piece on one of my kids. I'll tell you the truth, their sticks and stones will not stop me from going out and speaking the truth about their bad policies, and your support really helps. But Michelle Bachman is not the best candidate to put up there in front of the American people because she doesn't have any ideas. She never had an idea, man, any more than she hasn't had an idea any more than she probably knows the first names of her kids. I'm kidding, okay?
Oh, that boy, ooh, yeah, you probably should have said that.
Well, I just was given it. It's the same kind of... Never mind. All right, our number is 877-876. Phil, we're going to get back here with this poor gentleman's been hanging on to talk about this monkey doll. And Lynette Squeaky Fromm, she was a member of the Manson Gang, and she's been released from prison. I wonder how long Lynette is going to... Well, never mind. 877-876-PHIL. I shouldn't have even gone down that road. Lynette, I hope you've changed your tune, sweetheart. Squeak, I hope you ain't squeaking so much as you're, singing, maybe. Do a little singing for us. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I promised David he'd get back on the air right away. David, we were talking about the little monkey doll, and I had to cut you off, man, and I did some deep research. I went into the archives, the National Archives. I went to the Smithsonian. I woke up Abraham Lincoln. I did it all, man.
Yeah.
And I found out, David, that they don't have a little monkey white doll, but what they have is a white doll called Pretty Panda.
I'm surprised the Asians aren't complaining about that one. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't look Asian. It doesn't look Asian. It looks like a white kid.
I was just making a joke.
I know.
The point is, they're not going to make a white G.I. Joe doll without making a black G.I. Joe doll. This whole world is based on political correctness. At least this country is based on political correctness. And
don't you think there's black soldiers in the Army?
Absolutely. I served in the Army, right. So I know personally.
All right. Well, then why not have a black doll? What the hell?
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying you shouldn't. All I'm saying is basically my point is that black folks will find anything to complain about. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm surprised they haven't.
No, that's I don't know why. Why are you immediately coming to that conclusion? Now, let me explain to you. Now, you're a smart guy. Yeah, you're an intelligent guy. So here we are. I'm looking at a picture of the doll.
Uh-huh.
It's a black doll wearing a ski cap that says Little Monkey. Nothing wrong with a ski cap. But the doll is laying next to a monkey with a banana.
Okay. I just don't.
And you think that if you're black, you look at that and you go, oh, isn't that fantastic? That's why don't I buy that? Or, look at that. There's a black kid with a monkey and a banana in a crib. And that's cool. I mean, seriously, what you know about our country, what you know about the history of race relations in this country, from lynchings through the civil rights movement, through the election of President Obama, what you know about everything that this country has endured, you think that that's cool?
No, I don't think it's cool at all. But, that being cool is not the point, man. It's just, I think in this country right now.
I mean, in other words, if you were a black guy, let's forget about, forget about being black. You're a white guy and you see right. That. Would you say, I ain't buying that for my kid? I mean,
I wouldn't even thought about it. I would have thought, man, if I was a white guy buying it for my kid, I would have thought, man, this is perfect for my kid because my kid is a little monkey, even though he's white. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make
But you're looking at a black kid with a banana and a monkey. It wouldn't make any kind of a connection there?
Maybe now because race is such. I mean, it's come to a head in this country. Maybe it would now. But ask me that 5 years ago, wouldn't thought nothing of it. And the reason why I'm a 20.
All right, let me ask you. CBS TV wanted to do a remake. They wanted to do a reality show remake of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
And it was going to be a reality show.
Okay.
And they called a halt to it because they thought, oh, you're going to be making fun of these hillbillies and rednecks that are going to come in here, and we're going to laugh at the fact that they're poor people from the Appalachians living in a mansion. And they didn't do it.
I would think it would be hilarious, man. Because you know what? Because I don't have a chip on my shoulder.
White people don't have a chip. Give me a break. White people don't have a chip. Come on, man. You're talking to a white man. Don't give me that line of crap. You're talking to another white man, so don't try to pull one with me that white people don't have a chip on their shoulder. You know it full well they do.
I'm just saying, oh, yeah, we do. We do now because we're tired of political correctness.
No, we've had it to ourselves for so long that as soon as somebody said there's somebody else that maybe wants a piece of the action, now we're all pissed off and resentful.
Well, look at this, for instance. Do you think if Michael Vick was white, that he would be playing football again? Hell no.
Yeah.
He would be playing football again.
Yes, he would.
Absolutely.
Yes, he would.
No way.
Yes, he would. Yeah, sure he would.
I disagree with you. And a lot of people...
What are you talking... Why? What? You're not basing this on anything other than your own personal feelings that blacks are getting it better than you. I mean, and I don't see that, man. I'm looking at this country, and I don't see that. If you're telling me that there's a quarterback, a premium blue-chip quarterback who goes to jail for a couple of years and then comes back out with his skills, and there's an NFL team out there that needs a quarterback, they're not going to bid on him? Come on.
No
I've been following football my whole life.
Tear him apart if he was white and did that same
No thing. Way.
Absolutely.
No, I disagree.
Why? Because whites are held to a different standard than blacks are, man.
No, they aren't held to a different. What standard are whites held to that's different from black people?
I don't know. It's like we're expected to be.
You don't know. That's the bottom line there. That's the bottom line there. You don't know.
I mean, one of the.
Huh?
We're called homegrown.
We're called what?
Because we're conservatives. I'm just.
No, nobody's calling you a terrorist. They're tall. People that are terrorists are guys with guns and blowing up buildings and stuff. Those are terrorists.
I absolutely agree.
Okay, that's a terrorist.
But this administration that's in right now called me a homegrown.
The black one?
Because I came home from Afghanistan.
No, they didn't call you that. No, they. But that. First of all, you don't know. You don't. Once again, you don't have all the information. This was something that was released and shouldn't have been released. It wasn't completely written properly. They admitted they hadn't written it properly. You are not listening now, David. You don't want the information. You just want to be a pissed off white guy because blacks are getting it good. That's all.
Okay, I'll try.
And
I'll listen.
I'm telling you that was released, and Napolitano said it was sloppy and rotten. It never should have been released. It should have been at least a classified document. She apologized. It was bad. I mean, what more are you going to say?
But she shouldn't have.
You know, it was a lousy, rotten thing for them to do, and she pulled it off the shelf and apologized for it.
Well, my point is that the tea parties you see going on and the town hall meetings, or the town hall meetings that you see going on, it's not just about healthcare. I mean, a lot of it has to do with race. You know, I'm right there with you, man. I agree that, you know, a lot of pissed off.
Well, yeah, but because it's a race, that's what you're talking about. You're all bugged because you think whitey is getting stepped on these days.
Man, I'm white. I have to be on the defense.
What the hell happened to you, man? I'm white, too. I don't see anything. Nobody's taking anything from me. What are they taking from you?
You have your own radio show. You can't be.
No, I believe me, man. If I felt that there was something happening to Phil Hendry because he's a white man and he wasn't getting the goods like he used to, I'd say something. Tell me what's happened to you based on your race as a white man. How are you getting screwed over?
Man, the whole life full of it, man. I mean, anything.
No. I want to know, how are you getting screwed over, man, as a white man?
Well, for one, I mean, you try to go out and get a job, and just because you're white and someone else is black, they'll get it before you to fill a quota. I mean,
you don't know that's. No, man, that ain't true at all.
Well,
that ain't true at all.
I'd like to think.
It depends on what their needs are. Hell, they may have all the black guys they want, and now they want to get some white guys in there. I got a better one for you. Maybe they're looking for a guy that's really good at what he does, and they want to hire him because they need a guy that's good.
Right. They should.
What do you do? What do you do? What do you do right now?
Should have promoted those firefighters to start with, man.
Right. And guess what happened? Now let me. What happened? What happened?
Finally,
they got.
I mean, they.
That's
got what
right.
He had coming to him.
That's exactly right.
You know. But
that's
I mean,
right. And that happened. And that happened in this. And that happened in this country that you say is screwing over white people.
Finally.
Now let me ask you something. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Yeah.
I'm in administration.
What does that mean? You're in administration. What is that?
Around paperwork, basically. All day.
Are you in the military now? You're in the military now?
I did my time, and I wish I was back in, though. I'll tell you that.
Are you? So you describe a job that you're dissatisfied with. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I don't like
and,
it. It pays the bills.
And you want to do something else, and instead of getting out there and busting down some doors and doing something else, you want to blame black people. This is the beginning of a sickness, my brother. I'm not indicting you. I'm just saying when we get upset with our own status in life and we are frozen and paralyzed and we can't move, we're in big trouble if we start to blame other people. I'm telling you. You're in big trouble if you start to blame other people. You got to look at yourself. You move yourself out of where you're at in life, and you ain't going to be worried about black people anymore, man.
Yeah,
you move yourself out of where you are. You ain't going to be worried about the other guy.
I'm just telling you the facts,
huh?
Man. This is just how a lot of people feel. A lot of white folks feel.
Hey, No. Don't be telling me what other people feel. I want to know what you feel. And you're telling me that you're stuck at a place in your life that you're not happy with. That's not unusual. It's happened to a lot of people. You got to move yourself out from where you are. And don't get into that trap, man, because that's what poisons your mind, thinking, well, I could get up the ladder higher if it wasn't for this black guy. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
It's your own impotence, man. It's your own paralysis, dude. You got to look at that, man.
Yeah.
I got to run. My producer's going to kill me. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service to our country. You're full of crap. Now,
that guy made some good points.
Oh, but he, you know, maybe he made some good points to you. All I heard there was a guy who's frustrated with his life, and I understand that. And he's bumming on where he's at in this world, and he ain't digging it. And instead of saying, how am I going to get my ass up off the dime, he's, you know, looking at this, you know, blacks are getting what they got, and I ain't got what I want. And I wasn't even able to tell you the information here about these dolls. First of all, I mean, this is a whole other thing, you guys. This is a doll laying there with a banana and a monkey. Now, come on. Even Phil Hendry, who came out and defended the New York Post columnist because of the monkey attack the day before, even this is screaming at me. Come on. It's just yelling at you. You know, just Jungle Bunny. I mean, you walk by this thing. And then they got Pretty Panda with the white one. Now, this woman, Mary Gustaf, the CEO of Brass Key Keepsakes, who did not release a press release. There's nothing on their website about this. These people are suspect in my mind. She's claiming ignorance. I ain't buying it. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Obama Joker posters being put up in Florida, like we've been telling you all night. Maybe we'll actually do the story.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Now, time for another episode of Iron Swine on the Phil Hendry Show. Iron Swine, he goes out and, you know, and gets bad guys.
Yeah, Iron Swine now, he's going to go find a barbecue. It's his day off.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, it's his day off. He's not going to get a bad guy. He's going to go get a barbecue at Costco.
You go off of Costco and then look down at it, and Iron Swine goes, "What the hell, man? That's a Jungle Bunny doll. Got a little monkey doll there."
Yeah, so Iron Swine goes, "I'm not going to shop at Costco. I'm going to go to Sam's Club, which is a sponsor on a Phil Hendry Show, to get my barbecue."
Iron Swine go to a Sam Club, get a barbecue and everything, go home with it.
Yeah, but because he's in a wheelchair, he sets himself on fire, and then it... a whole explosion. Iron Swine!
Get out of here with that, will you, for crying out loud? The whole bit was going great until it went south with the explosion.
On account he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, man, he blew himself up. He's evil man, like, look, right there.
Will you stop that, okay?
Blew himself up. Anyway, Iron Swine did go to Sam's Club, so that's good. Oh, by the way, we'd like to welcome on the air tonight, WNNR, 1230 AM, Augusta, Georgia, a brand new affiliate. All right, hey, yeah. Great to have you guys with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And the Florida Obama Joker poster may be part of a contest by talk show host Alex Jones. Police in Florida have questioned a teenager who admitted to hanging dozens of posters depicting Barack Obama as the Joker and suggested that the prank could be part of a nationwide contest launched by a conservative talk show host who believes that Building 7 was brought down by the government and he's all messed up. Claremont Police Captain Eric Jensen said the suspect, who was taken into custody but not charged, told investigators he affixed some of the posters recently found on the city's light poles, public and private buildings, overpasses, mailbox, and other locations. Dozens of the posters first appeared earlier this month throughout Los Angeles, portraying Obama as Batman's nemesis from The Dark Knight, with the word socialism printed above and below the commander-in-chief's face. Commander-in-chief. That's Fox's words. The posters depicted Obama with sloppy red lipstick, a white face, and darkened eyes, the same makeup that has recently been worn by Barry Humphries, who does Dame Edna. No, I'm kidding. That does the... actually, could be drag, you know?
Yeah, that'd be bad.
So anyway, some kid, he's talking to the cops. He goes, "I didn't mean to do it. Alex Jones made me and everything." As of late Friday, at least 406 comments were posted on a website featuring the contest sponsored by Alex Jones, who hosts a syndicated talk show. Details of the contest launched last week show a top prize of $1,000 for the person who could demonstrate the best application of the poster around his or her hometown. Knowing Alex, I don't know him, but he is a talk show host, which means he probably lifted the idea from the guys that actually started doing it and turned it into a contest so he can sell some more DVDs that say that Obama was born in Australia or something. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to go over to Joe in Tucson. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, Phil, first of all, I just wanted to say, man, I've been enjoying you for years, man. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, I really enjoy your work. And, well, hey, anyways, thanks. I'm really blown away. I think this country is doomed. When I listen to some of these callers that are, you're arming them with facts, figures, and it just flies in one ear and right out the other. And it's just... I don't know. It's unprecedented dumbness. But anyways, well, I was blown away by this statistic, and it was, I didn't realize this. Canada is our number one trade partner. And they required zero money for a stimulus. They regulate their banks up there. When we were falling apart down here, nothing was going on up there. And I mean, I know there's inter-trade problems that go, but they didn't need any stimulus. The foreclosure rate in Canada is 0.04%, and I would say that that's probably a natural occurrence. And to top it all off, there is no health care crisis going on in there. There's not one person who's gone bankrupt, like 2 million people in this country, and that's an AARP statistic for whatever that's worth. And I don't know. To me, it's just alarming.
One would think that AARP would lean conservative, too. Like, they wouldn't necessarily be trumpeting achievements by Canada. Now, you got this from AARP. There's a 0.0-something% foreclosure rate in Canada on houses.
Yeah.
And you also, and you mentioned that now the regulation of banks in Canada is such that there was no lending crisis there.
Now, the lending crisis, no.
Okay. Now, a lot of this may, some of this may have to do with the fact that they are a number one trading partner in terms of goods. I don't know where Canada, well, I don't know where they stand in terms of the actual trade of hard currency. And you know, how much money flows between our banks and Canadian banks as opposed to our banks and German, French, or British banks, you know?
Yeah, that
and so that may have a little bit, they may not rely so much on lending banks in Canada, in other words, because of the laws that you were talking about, may not be allowed to do that much business with American banks or any other unregulated system as it existed then. But It's interesting, man. I got to spend the weekend reading up on that. I don't know how I'm going to get. I don't know how I'm going to do that and actually go out and get my little monkey doll, but I'll try. Anyway, man, thank you. All right, dude. Thanks for your call. There is Joe. Moving on with another phone call. Here we got Frank in Boston. Frank, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you?
Thanks, Phil. You know, one of the last things we talked about in journalism school was Hippocratic oaths. And what's scary right now is the line between journalism and entertainment has become so blurry that most of the people think that the Becks, the Obermans, and the Rushes of the world are journalists, when really they're just entertainers. I mean, when they come in, they do their job, they go home, they sleep, they come in the next morning, what's the first thing they look for? Their ratings.
A cup of coffee? Oh, their ratings, yeah, sure.
They're looking at their ratings.
I was going to say, in some of their cases, they're going into their desk for a bottle. But yeah, then the ratings. Yeah, they want to know absolutely, because that's what keeps them, and that's what keeps them employed. Yeah, the numbers. And
I have been there.
I've heard guys actually say the following. I've heard them say, "Whoa, my numbers, my ratings were down. I wonder if I had to go more liberal. I wonder if I had to go more conservative." I mean, literally believing that they'll shift their point of view so that they can attract audience. And I'm not blaming them.
No,
what I'm blaming,
Each there's like 5 minutes on every show on either Fox or MSNBC where they talk about each other's ratings. Oh, I beat him here, or I got the 25 to 45, and my ratings are better than yours. It's just get to the news, tell us the truth. You know, it's just so over the top.
What is it?
People.
Yeah. What does it tell you that O'Reilly, the number one guy on Fox, believes that the Americans committed the Malmedy massacre in World War II? You know.
How about when France was giving up problems and he said, "Nobody buy any French wine. Don't buy any French bread."
Right. Right. But then on the other side, and it's just so people know that we're not touting the liberal line here. On the other side, you got the MSNBC cats like this clown Schuster, who's saying 3,000 people did not die in the World Trade Center. It was 2,643. This guy was like, "What is that about, man?"
Yeah.
And Oberfear, the same thing.
What I like to do is I like to watch them all, listen to them all. I've just started to listen.
Yeah, but don't get your news from them, man. Don't get any information from them.
No.
You can enjoy their opinions. Yeah.
I'm listening to them, and I'm making my own decisions.
Yeah, but you got to make your decisions based on something other than the crap they're saying. You got to make your decisions based on going out and doing a little research, because they are not. This is not an informational site, Fox and MSNBC. These are not informational sites. These are entertainment sites, people. And that's where that's at, right? You want to know why I knock the tax tea party or the tax whatever the hell they call it thing? Not because I don't like the people that are there. They care about their country and everything, but they're being manipulated. The minute you guys let Fox in on that, and it could be equally true of CNN. In fact, CNN, you know, they got their that Rosen walking in there trying to start a fist fight. The minute you guys turn it over to them, it turns into a sponsored event for Fox, and they can stand up there and say all kinds of silly, meaningless, and pointless crap, and the next thing you know, you're sort of being directed. The agenda of the whole thing is being directed by them, and what could have been something that was quite eloquent turns into a festival of, you know, it's just a big, fat festival of dumb, as we like to say. Leo in Houston. Leo, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Enjoy your show. Listen, I had a couple of points I'd like to make. There was a trend in government for many years now to privatize parts of their operations, like prisons, toll roads, highway maintenance. There's talk about privatizing the post office. And they say the reason is this, is they think private sector can do things more efficiently and better than government. And now they want to unprivatize a very successful segment of our economy, the healthcare industry, and let government do a job on it.
Now that doesn't when you call it successful, what do you mean? That the health insurance companies are making a lot of money? But
well,
that a
people and they're keeping people healthy. They're making advances in medicine.
Are they? Yeah, they're curing people that can afford it. Yeah, they're curing a lot of people that can afford to be cured.
Yeah, well, I see the point. And a lot of people need health care. I just think there's a better way to doing it than taking over the whole darn thing.
Go ahead. They're not taking over the whole thing. They are allowing the private health insurance companies to exist. But they will be regulated like every other business in our country is regulated. Some businesses are under a federal authority. My business is under a federal authority. The Federal Communications Commission. Flight is under a federal authority. The FAA. Interstate Commerce and so on. SEC. We have for many, many years regulatory agencies with businesses that need this. If you didn't have the FCC, we would have radio stations jumping all over each other on the dial. If you didn't have the FAA, you'd have planes running into each other. Now, when it comes to health insurance, there is a private sector that is a lucrative business for a lot of people, but there's some tens of millions of people that are not being covered. They are costing the rest of us money, and it is a staple of life, health care. It's not something that you and I joke and say, I don't need that, man, just like we say we don't want to drink an Orange Crush or we don't want to go out and watch the Dodgers play this weekend. You got to have health care. And when you have that privatized and it's something that everybody needs, then people begin to fall into the abyss. And that's why the government has suggested in Obama, and he's not the first president. He's not the first president. Harry Truman, all the way on up. Theodore Roosevelt, all the way on up, has said we need to have some kind of a national safety net system in place for people that are not insured. You say that the health insurance companies are doing well. Yes, they are. They're getting fat on higher premiums and the monies that they're charging us every time they treat somebody that isn't insured. So they're doing real good, man. Meanwhile, it's getting passed on to you and me, and we're fine with that. It's when the government tells us that we might want to pay a little bit more that we get all upset. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense.
I just don't like the government intrusion in my life.
But you don't mind the health insurance intrusion into your life. You don't mind them telling you got to pay more, and you got nothing to say about it.
Well, you can.
You like that?
Shop it around from place to place, and
oh, is that right? Really?
I've survived for 65 years dealing with it. But
knock on wood, brother. Knock wood. Okay. You can shop around, huh?
Please, one more point. I just turned.
No, I got to get going, man. I got to get running here. But I appreciate your phone call, Phil Henry Show 877-876 Phil. Okay, so just shop around. I'm sure you'll find something. You know that lasts for maybe. Hey, they'll give you the first $10,000 in your hospitalization. Too bad it's like $10,000 a night. All right, we'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to here on a world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Just an update on the explosion in Kabul. The Taliban apparently has taken responsibility now officially for the killing of three people in this explosion, a suicide bombing in the Afghan capital of Kabul early Saturday morning. It was around 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. on the East Coast when this happened, and the Taliban's claimed responsibility for the bombing. This attack was near the NATO's International Security Assistance Force headquarters and the U.S. Embassy, and it occurred just 5 days before their presidential elections. And so keep an eye on that, you guys. This is the Taliban. These were the caretakers and protectors of Al-Qaeda who had a hand in killing a lot of Americans. Time now for the stories that we couldn't get to tonight. A Greenwich, Connecticut man apparently felt guilty about practicing personal hygiene in a neighbor's home after he had broken into it. Manuel Gonzalez of Locust Street broke into a Locust Street home on Wednesday while the owner was away, cut his pubic hair and left the trimmings. Remorseful about his actions, the man later confessed to the woman, who then called police. Police charged Gonzalez Thursday night with first-degree burglary. What a weird ass. He was released on a $2,000 surety bond. Released? They ought to put this guy in the nut bin for 72 hours, don't you think? I'm really sorry. I was cutting my pubic hairs, and I don't know. I just felt overwhelmed with guilt, you know. All right, you broke into my house? Well, yeah, and then you've trimmed your pubic hairs in my sink? Yeah. Put the guy in a nut house. But just find a psychiatrist to just, you know, sign the papers on him for a 72-hour watch. You crazy? No, he is. I bet you that guy, you know, trimming his pubic hairs. Who's trimming the pubic hairs there in the judicial and legal system of Connecticut? Never mind. So anyway, in Independence, Missouri, thou shalt not steal, especially within sight of a convent. Yep, that's right. Police are crediting a pair of nuns with helping nab a gun-toting man suspected of burglarizing two homes on Thursday morning. Around 7 a.m., Sister Katarina glanced out a window of the Sisters of St. Francis of the Holy Eucharist Convent and spotted a suspicious man walking through a soybean field. She and Sister Connie headed outside to see if the man was lost or hunting illegally. The nun saw the man was carrying a shotgun, boxing gloves, and other items. When they began to question him, the man ran into the nearby woods. Sister Katrina gave chase, wearing her ankle-length habit and flip-flops. He got away. Ankle-length, man. They still wearing those? You like that, bud?
Yeah, that's great. That gets me hot.
You sick freak. Sort of does. Anyway, he got away, but the 49-year-old nun was able to describe him later to police, who made an arrest. In Sydney, Australia, a man was knifed in the buttocks following a fight over a car park space in Sydney's West End last night. Police said the 26-year-old got into an argument with a woman over a car park at a Parramatta shopping center about 8 p.m. The man took the park and went inside to do his shopping while the woman still outside called two friends on her mobile phone. Police alleged two men soon arrived at the shopping center and went inside to find the 26-year-old challenging him in the food court. Police said the two men then assaulted the 26-year-old, stabbing him in the buttocks and bashing him. Jeez. Where's the chick that called her boyfriend and his friend to come over and beat up the guy that took her car parking space? Because, anyway, the police said the two men then assaulted this man. They fled the shopping center on foot while the 26-year-old was treated by paramedics. He was taken to West End Hospital. He's okay. His ass is no worse for the wear. Police said they reviewed CCTV footage in the center, and they later arrested two men. An 18-year-old Auburn man was charged with malicious wounding or grievous bodily harm in company. And an 18-year-old man from Regent's Park was charged with affray. What are these? This is all a bunch of Australian talk. I don't understand this crap.
What do you mean?
He took the park? You mean the parking space?
Yeah.
I don't understand it, man. In Marblehead, Ohio, the guy that the town was named after is suing. Bob Marblehead says that he's insulted. I'm joking. That's not it. A woman in Ohio is telling a fish story about one that got away from a bird and damaged her car. Authorities in northwest Ohio say the fish, a Lake Erie freshwater drum known as sheep's head, smashed a car windshield Tuesday when an eagle dropped its catch from a height of about 40 feet. Ligam Niles says the impact felt like a brick hitting her Toyota's windshield. The woman from Cleveland suburb of South Euclid was vacationing along the lake in Marblehead. Niles says she had thought herself lucky to escape damage in another animal encounter shortly before the fishy one. She says her truck hit a small bird, which struck her back passenger door and startled her 5-year-old daughter. In Rome, you had to be quick, but what a deal. A 4-star hotel near Venice mistakenly offered the ultimate low-cost vacation, a romantic weekend in the Italian lagoon city, for €1 cent. Not surprisingly, the Crown Plaza in Carto di Altino, 15.5 miles, 25 kilometers, from Venice, received bookings for 5,000 people the night the rate was posted on its website. And it seems those bookings may be valid. The hotel first thought the offer was posted by a hacker, sales manager Fulvio Donison said on Friday, but it turned out to be human error at the Atlanta, Georgia offices of Intercontinental Hotel Group, the hotel's mother company. The offer was supposed to be for a two-night stay at half price. A night at the 151-room hotel normally costs between $128 and $214. The one-cent rate was up only Sunday night, but that was long enough for travelers to book dates running from October through 2010.
Woo!
The hotel stands to lose 90,000 euro. That would be $129,000. Danison said the reservations are formally valid, and Intercontinental will have to decide how to deal with the customers. Intercontinental spokesman did not immediately return. Well, what you guys can do is make the room service slow, not deliver the newspaper, be very surly when they check in. You know, it's all kinds of things that will make sure that never again will they ever think that you guys are the light touch with the 1 cent a night. No, 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 not us. What, you got the 1 cent? Yeah. Yeah, okay, go ahead, sign in, you dirty, stinking... All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Have a great weekend, you guys. And don't forget our website at philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video, live streaming audio, on-demand audio, and one of the biggest archives of radio comedy in the world. See you Monday morning, Monday night, or Tuesday morning.
Phil Henry.